So am I. Thank you. Now, is this thing on? I squeezed the trigger and it doesn't show any light here. I don't need it, do I?
Yeah, welcome to record. It's two switches. There you go. You're on.
Okay, am I on now? Well, I thank you for those kind words, dear brother. I appreciate that. And we've had a good time here. I'm trying to decide what the Lord wants me to speak on. I think he wants me to just quote John 3:16. Let's go home, huh? It's my privilege. In my younger days, I know I don't look as old as I am. I'm only 39. It was in my younger days when I was about 30 years of age or so, something like that. It was my privilege to hear Brother Peter Conley twice. And I told his son out here that when he spoke, he had a brogue. I don't know where he comes from. He had a brogue. And sometimes I couldn't quite understand what he was saying. But you know, he had never misunderstood who he was talking about, even if he didn't understand it, because he had that look on his face that you knew who he was talking about. And the one he's talking about, he loved him. It was my privilege to hear him, and I've known Brother Kenneth here for some time. Well, let's get on with the business at hand. We heard a powerful message on who this Christ is and what he has done for you. So let's get down to business here and see what you're supposed to do for him.
Amen.
We started out this week by talking to you about some things that I believe are extremely important, that I think are absolutely missing in fundamental Christianity today. I mean Bible-believing Christians. We've got men who believe God's Word without any doubt, without any question. They read God's Word through, but God's Word's never gone through them. I believe that we're seeing some works of God, works for God, that are magnificent and wonderful. But I think one of the great things, that's one of the most important things that's missing as far as Christianity is concerned, is that we're seeing works for God, and we're seeing what men are doing as far as God is concerned, for God is concerned, but we don't see God anymore. We don't see God in the pulpits like you saw him just a few moments ago. And I want to say to you tonight that God is here.
Amen.
God is here. I invited him to come with me. I know God is here because the Bible tells me that God is always working. God is not sleeping someplace. God is always working. And he's here in your presence, and if you're alert to what he is, and if you're aware of that his presence here, he will reveal himself to you. I don't know what God's doing in your life, but I want to say something to you. God has surrounded you here. If you're a born-again Christian, God is trying to reveal what he wants to do in your life. Remember what we said. It's not what is God's will for your life. You may want to debate that, and I'll debate with you after the end of the service. It is not what is God's will for my life. It is what is God's will. Period. Our problem is this, that most of God's people are getting books out of the bookstores on what is God's will for my life and missing the entire boat. What is God's will tonight surrounding you? And then the second thing I want to say to you is this, that God is pursuing you tonight with an all-consuming love that is real and personal. And anytime you get discouraged or disappointed, or you get to the place where you want to give up, the place that you get so burdened down with your own problems, and you don't think that anybody loves you, look at the cross. So God is pursuing a love relationship with you that is real and personal. Now the next thing I want you to know is this, and those things come in that order, and with all this they come in that order, you might as well quit worrying about what you're going to get done for God. You cannot get a thing done for God until first you learn that God loves you, and that God is present in your life, and God is asking you and speaking to you, so he's inviting you to become involved in his work. He'll speak to you through his Holy Spirit, through circumstances, through the life of, as Brother Conley gave the story of his father. Through that life, he's speaking to you. Are you listening? You realize that God is present, that God is working around you, that he's never any time in this old world that God is not working that God is not wanting to pursue you and show you that he loves you, that God is inviting you to work with him, and that God is speaking to you, when you realize that, then you're going to come to a crisis of belief in your life. And it's going to require two things: faith and action. Faith and action. Once you begin to realize that, my dear friend, that crisis comes to your life, then it's going to cause you to come to make a major adjustment in your life. Just as Peter Connolly made a major adjustment in his life when he turned his back on his family and followed Jesus Christ. I'm sure he didn't understand everything that God was going to do for him. Didn't understand anything about what God was doing. All he knew that God had come into his heart and God had changed him on the inside. My dear friend, in the final analysis of that, all those are 6 points. The 7th point I'd like to be, that I've been speaking to you about this week, is this: that you will never, never, never get to know God until you obey him and you experience him working through you. And he reveals himself and his purposes and his ways. That's missing in fundamental Christianity today. We know all about the work of God. We know all about the Bible. We have Bible-believing Christians today who know the Word of God, who stand for the Word of God, would die for the Word of God, but they really don't know the author. The Apostle Paul, as I told you before, after years and years and years of serving Jesus Christ, penned these words in Philippians chapter 3, that I may what? Know him. I want to get to know him. I want to get to know him. I remember when I was a babe in Christ, that don't know exactly what I'm going to do tonight. It's immaterial. I'm going to ask, let God just let it fly. I don't want to keep you late. I remember when I was telling Brother Connie, I remember when I first became saved. Roughneck, just come out of the Army. Spent almost 4 years in the Rangers in World War II. Didn't care whether I lived or died. Didn't care about anything. Got a brother sitting here. I'm glad to see you and your family here. Brother Ed had just come. I hadn't seen him for almost 4 years. God brought him through the war, from Africa, through Sicily, through Italy. The other brother made a landing in Normandy. Mom and Dad stayed at home while 4 boys were out there scrapping for about 4 years. And so I can understand to a point what my brother is saying here. I came out, I didn't care about things. Nothing was important to me. And I decided education was the answer. And so I went to Kent State University to study some subjects, and that's neither here nor there. At that time, wasn't important to me because I thought education was the answer. Education wasn't the answer. As I studied philosophy, I found one philosopher said, the next week was another philosopher said, another philosopher said, and I said to myself after about 6 weeks of that, these philosophers don't want any answers, they just want more questions. They're not looking for answers, they're looking for questions. And I didn't know what to do. I went to church one night when Mother and Dad lied to me and told me their car was broken down, asked me to come to church. And I heard an old hillbilly preacher say, come now, let us reason together. Reason. God wants to philosophize with me. Let your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, a little bit like wool, they be like crimson, they shall be like wool. You didn't have to tell me I was dirty. You didn't have to tell me I was a sinner. I just couldn't believe that somebody could completely and totally forgive me. I'm not going to stand here and tell you what my sins are. These guys that come along and get into the pulpit and tell you how dirty they were and how rotten they were and so on and so forth, they're just vicariously experiencing their sins. They're all, God forgot them. Somebody says, you mean God can forget? Yeah, God can forget. Well, if God can forget, maybe he can forget that you're saved. I said, no, sir. God just remembers to forget. That night, I came forward, and I won't tell you the whole story because I don't want to bore you to death. Because my sweetheart wife, who was going to be my wife, fiance, wanted to get saved that night. A moral, strict Methodist wanted to get saved that night. She'd bawled like a baby, and I wouldn't go with her. And finally, she said, she's going by herself. And I said, let's go. We got down there. They said, are you saved to her? She said, no. I said, you want to be saved? Oh, yes. Man put his arm around my shoulder and said, son, you saved us. Yeah, I got it good. Yeah, man, I know all about it. I've got it good. He said, well, God bless you, son. Where are you going to church? And I couldn't remember what church I was going to, so I said, well, it's a Baptist church. Patted me on the shoulder, and I stood there, and all the mercy of God, and all the grace of God, and all the judgment of God came on me in one moment. And God said in my presence to me, nobody else heard it, Bozo, this is your last chance. You better get it and get it good. I looked down there and saw that little sweetheart that I was going to marry, sobbing like a child. And I knew she had something in her. I knew something was happening. She got up from that pulpit, from that altar. She turned around, the tears running down her face. But she had a smile of heaven. I said, she's got something. I just walked over. I didn't need help from anybody. You know, one of those smiling guys. I knelt down at that old altar. And I made a poker deal with God. You may not understand it. Maybe you're a little more sophisticated than I am. My background is not sophistication. And I made a poker deal with God. I said, I don't understand everything, but I'll tell you one thing. If Jesus Christ died for me, and Jesus Christ paid for my sin, I'll take it. I said, that's how you got saved? That's how I got saved. I just took it. Amen. I took it. I didn't know what all I was taking, but I took it. I knew one thing. I knew that there was a God, but I didn't know about this Jesus Christ stuff. My mother and dad used to tell me about it. And my brothers were saved. I had some real problems with it. Some very difficult problems with it. But I knew one thing. After having gone to school, studied a little bit, that you had to have a book to have an answer. And they said, that's God's book. And I said, that's it. I'll take it. And I took it. And I've never regretted it.
Amen.
I've never regretted it. I started to go to a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church. I went there for about a year. There isn't anybody in that church. And we went to 6,000 after I came on the staff in Canton, Ohio. But Bob Burney and his wife were, before they were married, were in my class. A number of the folks that are here were in my young people's class at that time. I became superintendent of a prison. Most of the people thought I ought to be in prison, not the superintendent. Make a long story short, there wasn't a night that I was not knocking on doors and inviting people to church. Let me tell you something, my friend. I don't know when's the last time you knocked on anybody's door, but I was out every night knocking on doors and inviting people to church because nobody told me that I was supposed to lead people to Christ. They told me I was supposed to bring them to church, and the preacher would preach, and they'd get saved. After about a year of that, a year and a half of that, I was totally dissatisfied. Absolutely wiped out. This didn't make any sense to me. I didn't have that sense of reward, didn't have that sense of accomplishment or whatever was needed in the life of a young man who has so much energy, doesn't know whether he's coming or going. I'm 73 now, so I've lost a little bit of it, but not much. I went to my pastor and I said, sir, I said, I know it's the last meeting you had over here with a well-known preacher. And when people got saved, you're crying. He's crying, and I'm trying to work up a cry, and I got a brother here to testify to that. The family I was raised with, old Czechoslovakians, you didn't cry. You cried, you were, you wish you hadn't. And I tried to cry, and I couldn't cry. And I said to the preacher, I said, what is that? He said, well, it's a burden. And I said, well, give it to me. I want one of them. I didn't know how to say it. He said, what'd you say? I said, I want a burden. He says, read your Bible and pray. I walked out of there unfulfilled. I'm about ready to quit it all. And then that old Tommy Thomas, dear old Plymouth Brethren. See, I didn't get my training from the Baptist. I got my training from the Plymouth Brethren. But I said, after going with him for a couple, 3 months, I said, Tommy, I said, I want to ask you a question. How do you get a burden? And maybe some of you are sitting here wanting to know how you're going to get a burden. I said, how do you get a burden? He says, you don't want one. And I said, what? He says, you don't want one. I said, don't tell me what I want. I said, I want a Burton. How do you get it? He says, listen, you don't know what you're asking. And I said, yeah, I know what I'm asking. I want a Burton. You see, folks, when I got saved, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, something happened on the inside. I wanted to do something. I didn't care. I'm glad what you said tonight, brother, that your dad was a boxer. See, I told you Christian boxing is all right. Nothing like it. He said, no, you don't want one. I said, I'm going to tell you for the last time, I want a Burton. If you're going to give it to me, I'm going to go to the devil and find out. I got to get a Burton. I said, everybody's rejoicing in the Lord. People see people rejoicing in the Lord, and I'm overwhelmed. Because I can't get a burden. I can't cry. And I can't weep, but I'm just overwhelmed. He says, well, I'll tell you what. He said, it may cost you. And I said, I don't care. Tell me what it's going to cost me. He said, listen, you better be careful how you say that. So, oh, dear sweetheart of a man. He said, it may cost you your job. I said, it's okay with me. I didn't like my job anyhow. It may cost you your wife. Get a little touchy. That's all right with me. It may cost you your family. I said, I still want it. You know what that old boy said? It may cost you your life. I said, I still want it. Tell me, how do I get a burden? You know what he said? Get to know him. Get to know him. Get to know him. Get to know him. And tonight, my dear friend, I want to say this to you. Get to know Christ.
Amen.
Get to know the God. Listen, my friend, don't get to know the Bible. That's important to read the Bible. But get to know the God of that Bible.
Amen.
He's real. Amen. He's alive. He's present today. Think about some things in my life that I experienced as I went along, and the more I got to know him, the more I loved him. And the more you love him. Now this church, as I said to you before, needs to get out and be about the Father's business. And I'm just going to very quickly give you about a 3-point outline or whatever the case may be. I think about Zacchaeus. Now some of you folks heard this probably. Now, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, I don't know. I think about Zacchaeus, and I think the thing that strikes me about Zacchaeus was this, that here was an old Jew, wealthy, he had everything anybody would ever want. He was in the who's who. He was in the newspaper. He was a tax collector. Everybody knew him, not many people loved him. But he did something which was the most amazing thing in the world to me. I find more amazing things in the Bible every time I read it. But I tell you, this is an amazing thing to me. This old boy with his $400 suit, beautiful pair of alligator shoes, dressed with the finest of finest, did something that I don't believe anybody here has done. He climbed a tree right in front of everybody, ripped his pants, and hung on a branch. Because somebody told him, you need to see Jesus. Now, I don't know how you think, what you think about that. And maybe that doesn't strike you as particularly spiritual. But for a guy like me, that's interesting. He climbed a tree. He was so well known in that society that everybody knew him. Mrs. Goldberg said, hey, Abe, look across the street. Old Zacchaeus is flipping out of his marbles. He's climbing a tree like a monkey. Look at him hanging out. What in the world's gone mad? This neighborhood is going to pieces. I've often thought about that. I wonder what made that man climb that tree. I'm going to go very briefly tonight. You take a trip with me. Don't get ahead of me. Stay with me. You'll know the answer before I get through with it. But let me tell it to you in my own inimitable way. I believe that something happened to Zacchaeus that ought to be happening in this church and in this community. Old Zacchaeus went out collecting taxes Monday morning. He's going down the street. Comes to a house. There's black crepe on the door. That never stopped him before. He swings the gate open, goes up there, and knocks on the door. The door is answered by a woman that's weeping, tears stained her face. He said, widow name, my name is Zacchaeus. I'm the tax collector. She says, I know you well. He said, I've come to collect your taxes. She said, Mr. Zacchaeus, I want to tell you something right here now. You know, I've been a widow for years. Not much income. My son finally graduated from school. He's been working. He's a big strapping boy, 6'2", 240 pounds. Big strong boy, makes good money. We had just begun to start paying our bills, and everything started going real good. And she said, we had a terrible accident the other day, and my son is lying dead in the living room. Waiting for the preacher. We're going to the cemetery. Zacchaeus says, well, what about the taxes? She says, Mr. Zacchaeus, it took every dime I had to bury my boy. We didn't have the insurance on it. So she says, if you'll come back in 30 days, Mr. Zacchaeus, I'll give you the tax money. I promise you that. And Zacchaeus didn't know what to say. And he says, well, this is just like Monday. So he says, all right, 30 days. Walks down the street and he says, boy, oh boy, this is a beauty. First person I get to doesn't have the tax money. I wonder what is in store for me now. He comes up to the next house. Looks at the number of the door and says, that's it. Listen, something happened to Zacchaeus, my friend. Something happened to Zacchaeus that ought to be happening in this town. Knocks on the door and waits, and he hears somebody coming, and it's coming very slowly. He knocks on the door again. The door opens up, and he looks in the face of the most emaciated person he ever saw in his life. Hollow eyes, sunken in cheeks, skin and bones. Look like she's ready to fall over. And Zacchaeus says, hello, woman with issue of blood. He said, I'm Zacchaeus. You know me? She said, yes, sir, I know you. He says, I've come for the tax money. She says, Mr. Zacchaeus, I want to tell you something. I was working down at JCPenney. Had a good job there, doing pretty good. And she said, last month, two doctors come into town, and they said they had a cure for my cancer. And so I gave them all the money in the world, all the money I had. And she said, they put the cure on me, it didn't do me any good, and I'm dying. In fact, the cancer is working worse than it ever did. But Mr. Zacchaeus, I don't have any money. Mr. Zacchaeus, I tell you what, if you give me 30 days, I'll have your tax money. Zacchaeus said 30 days and went down the steps. He's going down the street, this businessman. Something caused him to climb that tree and to tear his pants because Jesus was coming by. He's shaking his head and he says, boy, I'll tell you something right here now. I've never seen anything like this before. Comes to the next house, knocks on the door. Door opens up, and three kids bolt out, chased by a dog. And woman comes to the door, and she says, "Hello, Mr. Zacchaeus." Zacchaeus says, "Hello, Mrs. Gadara." He said, "Kids are running out there pretty wild today, aren't they?" "Well, they're hungry." "What do you mean they're hungry?" She says, "Mr. Zacchaeus, we've had a tragedy in our home." She says, "You know, my husband had a good job. He started drinking. The drink got so bad that all of a sudden he quit coming home from work. He'd spend his paycheck. And when he did come in, he was so drunk, he said he'd come along, he'd beat up on the kids, and the kids didn't know which way to turn, didn't know what to do. And they would hide under the bed because daddy was drunk." She said, "I don't know what happened." She said, "But I do know one thing, he lost his mind. We don't pay our bills anymore. I can't get grocery money. Our rent is due. We're getting ready to put us out. We don't know which way to turn." Mr. Zacchaeus looking. She opened up the refrigerator door. There wasn't a thing in there. She said, "I got five kids. No way to feed them." Mr. Zacchaeus, the worst thing ever, all has happened. And one night he just went out of here screaming mad. They tell me he's down there on an island, tearing rocks and cutting himself. They said he's lost his mind, and I don't know what to do about it. Mr. Zacchaeus, I don't have a dime. She said, "But I think I've got a job coming. If you wait 30 days, I'll have your tax money." You see, The problem with we and Christianity is we got to think, we got to have some deep theology, or it isn't a good message. I'm giving you something practical. You can take this home just like you can take that home. The Christ that he's talking about is the same Christ that got a hold of Zacchaeus. Now, I didn't read the scripture. You know it well. Luke chapter 19. He gets out of there. He says, I'm going to try one more house. That's it. I've had it. What am I going to do with these people? They don't have any money. How am I going to live? How am I going to continue paying my dues at the country club and at the golf course? Don't these people understand that I have to keep my reputation? One more house, he says. He goes by a house there and the gate's fallen off, the fence is half down, beer cans in the yard. Stepped up on the porch and one of the boards cracked. He skinned his leg and tried to knock on the door. Now, there was no door there except a screen door. When he knocked on the door, the screen door fell apart. He heard a tap, 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 tap. He looked into a pair of sockets, and to a pair of sockets with no eyes in them. And he says, hello? Blind Bartimaeus, this is Zacchaeus, I'm the tax collector. I've come for the tax money. Zacchaeus, Mr. Zacchaeus, I'm telling you, I know, you know, I've never missed a payment. I've always paid my taxes. But he said, I had a real problem this month. And Zacchaeus says, you too? He says, yeah, I had a real problem this month. He said, you know the guy that takes me down to the corner where I beg alms all the time? I don't know what happened. He either died or moved away or something, but for the last 4 days he hasn't been around, and I haven't been able to get to the corner. I don't have a dime. Mr. Zacchaeus, I tell you what, I want to pay my taxes. Would you help me down to the corner so that I can beg for alms? Zacchaeus said, he says, I got to get somebody to take me. Oh, Mr. Zacchaeus, if you give me 30 days, I promise you I'll find somebody to take me down that corner. And I'll have your tax money in 30 days. Zacchaeus says, see ya. Walked out, he says, I'm going home. Took a full aspirin, went to bed. This tax business is rough business. Tough business. So you can't get money from people. I had no sympathy for the IRS, so don't get any ideas here. Something happened to Zacchaeus. Now let me tell you, let your imagination go. It caused him to climb a tree, rip his pants, make a fool out of himself, because he wanted to see Jesus. 30 days go by. Don't get ahead of the story. Let me tell it. 30 days go by. Well, he says, it gets time to collect the taxes again. So he starts, I don't like standing behind a pulpit. I like to get down here where I can just keep walking like this. You got to keep going back and forth. You never find anybody sleeping. I just keep back and forth. I don't want to lull you. I'll fake it every once in a while like this, all right? Comes to the first house. Knocks on the door. Big 240-pounder, 6'2". Comes to the door, opens up the door. Oh, hi, Mr. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus says, who are you? Oh, he says, I'm the widow Nain's son. How many sons does she have? I'm the only one. Oh. How are you feeling? Oh, I'm feeling great. Zacchaeus says, well, you sure look healthy for a dead man. Kid says, what'd you say? Nothing. He says, let me see your mom. Mom comes to, oh, Mr. Zacchaeus, I'm so glad you, here's the tax money and here's this month's tax money. I'm telling you, Mr. Zacchaeus, I am so appreciate you giving me 30 days to pay my taxes. Here's a $5 tip for you. Wow. Zacchaeus says, okay, I appreciate your paying. But he says, you know what, you don't have to think that I'm such a skinflint that I wouldn't have given you time. Why did you have to lie and tell me that your son was dead in order to get a 30-day leave for paying taxes? And she says, Mr. Zacchaeus, you mean you haven't heard? And he hadn't heard. And there's people in Westerville haven't heard. You think they've heard. Mr. Zacchaeus, I thought everybody knew. Zacchaeus says, knew what? I mean, you haven't heard, Mr. Zacchaeus? I don't know what you're talking about, lady. Hurry up and tell me. All I know is this. I came for the taxes last month,
and you said you didn't have them because your son was dead in a casket. I should have gone in, taken a look, and said, all right, I came back there. I'm glad I got the tax money, but I tell you what, I wish you wouldn't lie to me like that. Mr. Zacchaeus, I didn't lie to you. You didn't know. You haven't heard. They haven't heard.
She says you were there and you left, and as soon as you came back, we put the lid down on the casket and the preacher come. We took that old body and put a casket and put it on a cart and started to take it down to the cemetery. Come down about halfway to the cemetery, and Jesus came by. Jesus came by, and she said, when Jesus came by, we heard the worst turmoil you've ever heard inside of a casket. Let me out! Open up the casket, might come out. Jesus gave me back my son.
Amen.
You know what this whole world needs to know? Jesus Christ gave you life.
Amen.
Jesus Christ became your substitute. Everybody thinks everybody knows, but not everybody knows, my dear friend. Zacchaeus, he gave me back my son. Look at him. Praise God. Zacchaeus says, well, that's great. And walked off the step and died. He says, man, I tell you, I've heard some stories, but that's the thing I've never heard of like that in my life. This woman tried to tell me her son is dead. Some guy come along and said, hokey pokey, dominokey, and the kid is alive. I can't believe that kind of stuff. It's amazing to me. I can't understand it. But how people will lie nowadays. Now, who cares? I got the money. Goes up to the next house. Knocks on the door. Door opens up. Most beautiful woman he'd ever seen in his life. Standing there. He takes one look at her. He looks one look at her. He says, is this the home of the woman with the issue of blood? She says, yes, Mr. Zacchaeus. That's me. He says, well, forgive me. He says, I can't believe this. He says, I was here last week. What about the Avon lady been here or something? I said, you know, he said, I never saw anybody. I mean, you're absolutely stunning. He says, you look like you were going to die last week. He says, are you sure? She says, I'm the same lady. She says, you know, Mr. Zacchaeus, I'm telling you something right here now. I'm so glad that you're here because I've got your tax money. I want to give it to you. He says, well, wait a minute. He says, I'll take the tax money. He took it, put it in his pocket. And he said, this month's okay. You got it too. He says, but I can't believe this thing. He said, last month. He said, you look like death warmed over. What happened? Mr. Zacchaeus, haven't you heard? Haven't you heard? No. Zacchaeus said, wait a minute, hold. I just came from my house and they told me the same thing. I haven't heard. What are you talking about, lady? She says, you know, let me tell you, my dear friends, God took an old sinner boy at age 26 and put a song in his heart. And it hasn't changed since then. And I've been going at it for 45 years now. My dear friend, I don't intend to quit. Somebody says, when are you going to retire? Hey, I'm just getting ready to do something.
Amen.
Why, Mr. Zacchaeus, when you left, she said, I made up my mind I was going to get down there and do the best I could to get some money. She said, I started downtown, and I got about halfway downtown, and they were having a parade or something. I don't know what was going on. And she says, that turned the corner, the crowd knocked me over, and I'm laying down in the dust. And she said, I was about to suffocate. I couldn't know what was going to happen. And I said to somebody, what's going on? They said, Jesus is passing by. Jesus is passing by. She said, I heard stories about what he could do. And she said, I just couldn't wait. She said, and as he came by, the crowd was surging around, and everybody got kind of quiet, and he couldn't move to it. And she said, I reached between the legs and got a hold of his mantle. And Jesus touched me. Mr. Zacchaeus, he touched me. And he cleansed me. And I am what I am today by the grace of God. Mr. Zacchaeus, Jesus cured me. God bless you, lady. Zoom out the door. He went. I said, you know, that first woman could have lied to me about that dead kid. But not this woman. Man, she's a beauty. She's beautiful. Now, you're already ahead of the story, aren't you? And you're settling down, you're kind of mesmerized. Don't get, because I'll come back here after you. Don't get mesmerized. Just hold this. Let me tell the story. I'll listen to your story. You got one to tell at the end of the service, I'll listen to it. But listen to my story. Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something, when God touches you, I'm going to tell you something, my dear friend, when you get saved. I'm going to tell you something, my friend, when something comes into your heart, and that something is someone who is the Holy Spirit of God, I want to tell you something. You can't get quiet. If you get quiet, there's something wrong with you. You don't have the same kind of salvation I've got. I don't. Just relax a little. Goes to the next house. Knocks on the door. Door opens up. Woman says, oh, hi, Mr. Sakis. Oh, so glad to see you're here. Just wait a minute, I'll get your tax money. Why don't you, he says, Mrs. Godara? She says, yeah. She says, well, while I'm getting the tax, why don't you come in and go in the living room and sit down and talk to my husband? I ain't gonna talk no maniac, I'll tell you that right here now. No way you're gonna get me in that living room with that guy there. He's kooky as they come. I've heard stories about him. No way, shape, or form. He says, no, ma'am, I'll wait here. He says, you know, let's face it, you know, it's kind of hard to go into that room because, you know, you can't trust your husband. Mr. Zacchaeus, you haven't heard? No, I haven't heard. Tell me something. What do you want to tell me, lady? I've heard two of the most fantastic stories I've ever heard in my life. Don't knock me over with this one here. I haven't heard. Only what those people said. What are you going to tell me? She said, Mr. Zacchaeus, come on in here. Walked in, the man stood up just bright-eyed and clear. Says, I'm Mr. Godara. Shook hands with him. Says, I want you to appreciate what you did for my family last month by not giving the tax money. He says, I don't know what happened. He says, all I know is this, that I got into sin. I got into booze. We lost all of our credit. We lost all. I lost my home. My kids wouldn't even come and say hi to me. Look at him now. And the kids are hanging around his, around his pant legs and squeezing him, hugging him. I'm telling you, he said, listen, I don't know what happened to me, but all of a sudden one day, he said, I was out there and I was having more fun than anybody else had. I ripped the chains off, pretend like I was chained up. And when somebody come with a boat coming to that island, I'd pretend like I was chained. And when they'd land on that island, I'd charge them like a herd of water buffalo. And he said, I'd scream and holler. It was so much fun to see them jump in the boat and get out of it, scared to death. He says, I don't know, man, I lost my mind. He says, one day, I'm sitting there, I'm watching, here comes a boat across the water, and I see this man get off this boat. He said, a couple of guys were rowing the boat for him. I see this man get off the boat, and he started walking toward me. I thought, well, this is going to be fun. He said, I ripped off the chains, and he says, and I charged him. He says, I started running to him, and the closer I got to him, the more I slowed down, and pretty soon I said, oh, my Lord and my God. Jesus gave me back my mind, gave me back my health, gave me back my family, gave me back my house, gave me back my job. Jesus, you hadn't heard, Mr. Zacchaeus. Jesus did it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Hallelujah. Amen. What a savior. Zacchaeus says, boy, that's it. This old heart ain't gonna take much more. One more. He says, I'm gonna do one more house, and that's it. He says, I've got money. He says, I'm doing real good. This is batting 100% so far. He says, this will be a good one. Goes by the house, looks at the address. Looks at the address up there, looks at his book. New paint on the house. Windows are all fixed up. New fence. Good gate, yard cleaned up, sod down. Place is beautiful. New front porch. Zacchaeus says, you know what happened? That dirty blind beggar, he sold this house and cleared out of town because the place was a pig pen. And he got away from not paying the taxes. Well, he said, listen, this next guy's going to pay the taxes anyhow. I'm going to get him. He charges in there and knocks on that door. Old short guy walks up and says, hello, Mr. Zacchaeus, you're shorter than I thought you'd be. Who are you? Well, blind Bartimaeus. Well, what do you mean you tell me you're shorter than I... what's the matter? He says, I can see now. He says, you know, honey, you understand that. I don't understand anything. All I want to know is one thing. Do you have the tax money? I got the tax money. I got a good job. Nothing to worry about. I've got it all here, Mr. Zacchaeus. But you hadn't heard about my eyesight. Zacchaeus says, no, I haven't heard, but I want to tell you something. I want to hear. I want to hear it. I've heard three stories that just changed my life, changed my thinking. He said, I'll tell you something right here now. Tell me your story. Well, Mr. Zacchaeus, sit down. He said, I was going down the street after I tried to find my way down, crawling down on my hands and knees. He said, I ran into this crowd. He said, I didn't know what to do. They're stepping on me. This, he said, it was so dusty, I was suffocating. He said everybody was making a lot of noise. He said, I didn't know what to do. I said to one guy, I said, grab me by the pant leg and shook. I said, what's going on here? The guy says, shut up, beggar. Jesus is coming by. I said, what? He says, shut up, beggar. Jesus is coming by.
And he says, there he is. He's just coming by there. And blind brother man says, I didn't know what to do. He says, I'm just tired of this blindness. I'm tired of struggling. I'm just no good. I'm worthless, you know, just like I was before I got saved. Couldn't see. Didn't want to see. I'd find a Christian like you and I'd take God's name in vain just to watch you squirm. It's a wonder God didn't kill me. Should have. I'd have been in hell now. Just to be rebellious. Blind Bartimaeus says, I didn't know what to do. He said, the only thing I could say was, oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd says, shut up, beggar. Quit causing such a commotion here. That's Jesus over there. What's he want to do? He said, he cried out again, oh, thou son of David. And he said, Jesus said, hold it. Part of the crowd said, what do you want, blind man? Blind man says, oh, if I could only see. If I could only see. If I could only see. Jesus said, you got your sight back, and Jesus gave me my sight back. Blind Bartimaeus says, I am no longer blind. It's a horrible thing to be blind. I got a daddy, he'll be 100 years old in August, as most of you know. He's lost all his direct vision, he just has peripheral vision. Can't have that by Bible. Got the biggest print Bible you can get. I'll see him in the morning when the sun comes up. Trying to read his Bible, but he can't see it anymore. He loves that book as much as you love it, and I love it. Tell you, when God gives you, not only God, you got sight, but God gives you that spiritual sight, my dear friend, it changed your whole life. Listen, have you read God's love letter through yet this year? Have you read it? Have you read it? Have you read it? Have you read it? Are you obeying it? Do you know what God wants you to do as a church? Zacchaeus says, please, Bartimaeus, tell me, where can I find him? He says, he's coming by at about 2 o'clock this afternoon. And they tell me once he goes by, he's never going to come back. And he didn't, because he was on his way to the cross. You better get down there. Zacchaeus charges off like a herd of water buffalo. Runs down the street. He gets down there and the crowd is already there. He said, is he coming? He said, yeah, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And old Zacchaeus is jumping up and down. He's getting on. Did they have fire hydrants in those days? Yeah, they had to give water to camels and things. Something like that. And he's jumping up and down trying to find out. I want to see this. I want to see Jesus. Why? Haven't you heard, Mr. Zacchaeus? He can cure the worst disease in the world. Sin on the soul. They said, well, here he comes. You're going to miss him, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, I don't want to miss him. Why? Because he had a testimony from the Calvary Bible Baptist Church about what Jesus Christ could do to a man and for a man or for a woman. When's the last time you told him what Jesus did for you? He's not asking you to preach. God is here, right here around you. All he wants you to do is to go out and tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. That's all. He don't want you to preach. He don't want you to get into theology. Don't worry about soteriology. I can't spell it either. All I know is you need to get saved. I got saved, and I want to just tell you how I got saved. And the preacher just told you how his daddy got saved. That's all the world needs, my dear friend. They haven't heard. They think they've heard. They've heard about religion. They've heard about this. They've heard about that. And they've seen this, and they've seen that. But my dear friend, they haven't heard from somebody, my dear, from somebody who has a smile on his face and a brightness about his eyes that says, Jesus did it all. There's a supernatural thing going on in my life. There's a supernatural thing going on in our church. When it's humanly impossible, who would ever think that a little church like this could put 50,000 books together? Huh?
Amen.
Come on. Come on.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Great things he had done. Listen, God is in the super. As I told you last night, listen, step from the ordinary to the extraordinary. Cross that Jordan, as old Elisha did with Elijah. Get over on the other side there and see what God can do and have an experience with God. And have a realization with God and get to know God. And then you can cross back over Jordan. I'm coming to the ordinary, but now you are a super ordinary person.
of a message.
Climbed up that tree. Bark falling off everywhere. Jesus walked by. Looking straight ahead. Hey, Zacchaeus. He's up there. Jesus didn't even look. He knows exactly where you are tonight. Friend, he knows exactly where you are tonight. You're saved. He knows exactly where you are tonight. He knows the condition of your soul tonight. He knows the condition of your experience tonight. He knows the condition, my dear friend, of your spirituality tonight. If you're here lost, you're without Christ, let me tell you something right here now. God wants to save you. I'm not talking to becoming a member of a Baptist church or a Chinese witchcraft church or whatever. I'm not talking about that, my friend. I'm talking about trusting the Christ who can heal your soul. How many here, beyond a shadow of doubt, you know that you've been saved? That you know beyond a shadow of doubt that Christ has touched your life, Christ has pardoned your sin, you took Christ as your personal Savior. You know that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. Would you put your hand up? Hold it up there for just a minute. I don't want to look at the crowd because I don't want to see. They put your hand back down. Now, you saw the raise of hands. Would you believe these witnesses? Something wrong, my friend. Not all these people got the same thing. They got the same thing. If you're here tonight and you're without Christ, without hope, and I don't know this crowd, I want to tell you something right here now. If there's any question in your mind as to where you're going to spend eternity, I want to say to you tonight that you can spend it with God if you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He became your substitute. That's what the preacher preached about. Old Zacchaeus gets up there and says, Jesus says, come on down, I want to have supper with you. He slid down that tree, ripped all the bark off, took all the splinters out of his leg, went in the house. Well, that day, Zacchaeus met the Savior.
Amen.
Somebody says, well, he sure gave a lot up, half his goods to poor and fourfold, story short, and so on and so forth. So I wonder why he did that. Well, skip verse 10. Son of Man came to seek and to save that which lost. And go read the rest of the chapter and tell you exactly why he invested. The rest of that chapter will tell you why he invested. Would you believe old blind Bartimaeus? Would you believe the widow Nain? Would you believe the maniac of Gadara? Would you believe the woman with the issue of blood? Would you believe me? I tell you that he changed my life. Oh, what God did in my life. Would you believe what these people gave as a witness to their hands? You see, not everybody's heard. Bill Logan, the missionary from Taiwan, tells this story, and I close with this. In short, I haven't turned any scripture. Turn to Luke chapter 19 if you want to. I think you've heard all the gospel you needed to hear in the first message. I just wanted to give you something practical. Bill Logan says when he was in Taiwan, he said that missionaries would meet in the afternoon. American missionaries would meet on Sunday afternoon to have fellowship. And then they'd separate about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, go back to their respective churches and have services that night with the Taiwanese people. Now, Taiwanese people have dark hair. A young missionary couple had come over with a girl about 18 months old. She's a blonde, blonde hair, just a beautiful little child. And of course, the Taiwanese people just love that golden hair. And they would just worship the little child. So they're having a meeting, and the little girl's traveling from person to person and so on and so forth. And Bill Logan tells us this is a true story. Time to go at about 4 o'clock. It came time to go, and everybody started to say goodbye. And the lady said, oh, have you seen my daughter? To one of the other missionaries. And she said, well, no, we had her for a short time, but now she went to somebody else. And she went to somebody. Have you seen my daughter? No, we had her for a few minutes, but she went someplace else, and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And pretty soon it became aware, became very apparent that the child is missing. Everybody had seen her, but nobody knew where she was. And so they formed into search parties, and they started to go around searching. Pretty soon somebody called, here she is! And they all rushed to the back of the house. And back there they had about 10 foot in diameter, about 16 inches of water, 14, 16 inches of water, a fish pond. And the little girl, and wandering around looking at the fish, fell in and hit her head, knocked herself unconscious, and drowned. They pulled that little body out of the water. He said, that's tragic. Yeah, it's tragic.
But you know what the tragedy of that story is? Certainly there was a tragedy that the little girl was drowned. But everybody thought that somebody else was watching the baby. And nobody was watching the baby. And the baby drowned. Let me tell you something right here now. All the churches think that somebody else is telling the people of Christ, and nobody is telling it really. This community needs this church and needs it desperately. This church has a testimony. But it ought to be a greater testimony. There ought to be some things. You're out of debt now, and I'm honest with you when I say to you, well, there ought to be some things and some plans in the future. Begin to be praying that God will give you a project that no human being could accomplish. Only God through you. That this testimony might go forth in this community. That's a place where God does the supernatural. You leave this place tonight. I'm serious now. You've heard about the Christ, the incomparable Christ. You've heard about the practical testimony of what Christ can do. Now go find somebody. Go find somebody. Go find somebody. Go find somebody and tell them what Christ has done for you. Don't preach to them. Tell them what Christ... Well, you don't know, preacher, it's kind of tough over here. I live in Las Vegas. One of the privileges for us has been to win the pit boss at Caesar's Casino. He runs the whole pit floor, the crap tables, to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me, friend, that they can't be won to Christ. Now the privilege is to one Rose and Ben were 21 dealers. $90,000 to $100,000 a year. That's a tough job to give up to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me it's tough here. Try to win him at a casino. I have no idea why God asked me to leave Canton, Ohio, and go to New York City. But as I told you before, now after 20 years in New York City, God has a faithful work of about 400 people there, and the church goes on. From there, we went to Las Vegas. My son has built a church in less than a year's time, by the grace of God, running close to 200 people in less than a year's time, a year old next month. God has given me a Bible study on the west side of Las Vegas, about 30 miles from the work. We've got 15 people. I've been there 6 weeks, got about 15 people. We'll keep working. I'm looking for a young man to take that thing over and build a church. Let me tell you something right here now. When God does something in your heart, he wants you to do something about it. Hey! Without works is dead. Romans chapter 4, verse 2, he says, you don't have to demonstrate faith to God by works. God knows your heart. But when it comes to men, they don't know your faith until they see it. Everybody thinks everybody else is watching the baby. And nobody is watching the baby. And she drowned. They're going into hell by the thousands, by the millions, and there's nobody stopping them. And he's coming. He's coming. But I tell you, Wednesday, did you see the newspaper today? Palestine and Israel have settled that thing. Now the issue is the Golan Heights. And they've been warned by the American generals that if they give the Golan Heights away, they will be defenseless. And the young people of Israel aren't paying any attention. They're the ones that murdered the prime minister. Now, if they don't get their way, they'll murder this one. And the Golan Heights are going to be given away. The United Nations team is going to have to come in and settle that thing. And it's going to be unsuccessful. And then somebody's going to come along and offer peace. Now they'll buy it. In the meantime, you can hang around if you want to. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of lying. I'm tired of cheating. I'm tired of God's people making fools out of themselves. Some of God's people ought to be in church tonight. They're not. Somehow they think they're getting even with God. Somehow they're just too tired of whatever the case may be. I hope they're not too tired to jump when it comes time to go. I love you. not thought much about speaking to you. Now we're going to talk to you about the greatest missionary the world has ever known. His name is not Paul. It's Jesus. He's going to talk to you about faith tonight. He's going to talk to you about a number of things. I just felt led to give you just a practical lesson. Haven't you heard? Sir, haven't you heard? Ma'am, haven't you heard? Haven't you heard? God can take an old sinner like this and save him. Clean him up. Give him a song. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Let me ask you a question tonight. The pastor comes. What have you done this week for God that an atheist couldn't have done? Now think about that for a while. What have you done for the kingdom's sake? And I know the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. But I said for the kingdom's sake. What have you done this week that God spoke to you about? That you had an encounter with him? Now don't just sit there. Think about it. If you can't think of anything, you got a problem. Calvary covers it all. He never quit one time. He just went clear to the end for you. Now come on. Now speaking to myself. I've had a good time at that motel. Think I'm scaring more customers away than I am than they're getting in. I got a chance to talk. They call me the wild man dyer. I pin them in a corner. You know what? They know what I'm telling is the truth. Because I got a song in my heart. Preacher and I, Brother Kine and I, have breakfast over there once in a while. We sit down and have a word of prayer. And people just kind of look at us. I'm waiting for somebody to say, how come you're praying? I just wait. I just can't wait for somebody to ask me that. I'm asking God to open up that door. That's why I go down there. I don't like to eat. How about you? What have you done this week? Come on. Come on. Get honest now. Right now. What have you done this week that will bring glory to God? I mean, something that God has asked you to do. Something God has revealed to you. You know, see, a revelation from God is an invitation. You had an encounter with him. If not, can I ask you this next question? If you can't think of anything, why not? Why not? Why not? Well, God just hasn't seemed to give me anything to do. How's your heart tonight? How's your heart? Got some bitterness? Got some unforgiveness? How about it? Self-satisfied, self-centered? What have you done this week to further the kingdom? Are you here tonight and you'll say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. If I were to die tonight, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. Would you please remember me in prayer? Slip your hand up right now. Anybody at all? Ain't no man, mom take care of him. Anybody else? I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Probably the whole crowd is saved, but you may have slipped in here. You're not sure tonight. Slip your hand up. Say, please remember me in prayer. Quickly. Quickly, come on. Put it up right now. Anybody at all?